Duluth's favorite local player, Charlie Parr, in the studio right now celebrating his latest record release, Keep Your Hands on the Plow. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's just kick it off with a tune, and we'll come back and meet everyone and have a chat.
Sounds great. All right.
Jesus' name. Said if I wash them not, you got no saving this life. Keep your hands on that plow and hold on. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. Keep your hands on that plow and hold on. You know, I got my hands on the gospel plow. I won't take nothing from a judge now.
Charlie Parr, live from Studio A. Hey, that was a good one. That's on the record, obviously.
That's on the record. It's called Gospel Plow. It's old, old, old. Everything on the record's old. It's all old traditional folk songs and gospel tunes, and there's even a chain gang song on there. So it's
do you have to have a chain gang to sing it along?
You don't. You have to have Alan Sparhawk and Mimi Parker, I think, is what you have to have, which what we did have.
You really had a lot of people on the album.
There's the most people I've ever had on a record. Normally, people don't like being around me too much, but these folks, for some reason, didn't mind it.
And they had to put up with you just for a short time.
Right, right. They had to take breaks and leave the church and come back in, but we did all right.
Well, Charlie, you've always been in the studio by yourself, and you brought a band with you today.
I did. I've got a band and my wife. A 4 Mile Portage are here, Tom and Brandy, and my wife Emily. So there's four of us, I guess.
And everyone kind of singing both backup vocals, a Brandy on the bass and the fiddle coming up, and Tom on the banjo, but no, the guitar.
He's a multitasker.
And they're going to play at the show on Friday with you.
Yeah, 4 Mile Portage are going to open a show, and then Emily and I are going to play a set of our own, and then we're all going to play together, and Alan Sparhawk and Mimi Parker are hopefully going to be able to come down and play a little bit during that at Sacred Heart on Friday. So,
well, talk a little bit about the making of it. You recorded it at Sacred Heart, mm-hmm. And with a band, I mean, this is kind of a... Are you a typical band leader, or is it more picking in the kitchen?
I'm not a band leader at all. I've never actually been in a band in my life. I've always played by myself. The music I've listened to has always been, you know, solo guitar players, blues players and stuff. So I've never really even thought too much about playing in a band. Although this year, you know, it's been, you know, it's felt really good playing with these guys, and I'm even working on starting restarting a project that Christian McShane and I had started a few years back called Devil's Flying Machine. We're going to restart that again this year. So, you know, maybe I'm just coming out of my shell.
That's what I was going to say. How fun is it to have such a variety of players playing with you? I mean, you're not playing with just a band on this record or here or at the show. You have really a line out the door of musicians, you know, a parade of people joining in.
It's been wonderful. It's humbling. I mean, I'm not, you know, a musician per se, so it's difficult to, you know, I feel like I have to try to do a good job, you know, and try to be, you know, a sociable person and whatnot all at the same time, which is challenging. But it's been really, really nice, and I feel like I think that the enthusiasm that we managed to create really shows on the record, I think, so, which I'll get you a copy of. You haven't heard it yet, but
I've been dying to. Well, one day, I know it's been out for a month. I put in my record for my order for the vinyl. You know, you said it's all traditionals and you have a lot of originals. Mm-hmm. Was it easier kind of to share the stage, being that these weren't your own personal tunes?
It is easier. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, the songs that I write for myself, you know, I kind of write them and with the in mind that I'm going to perform them. And I'm not a person that is easy. It's easy for me to tell people, you know, what I'm thinking or what I'd like to have happen. These old songs, you know, Four Mile Portage, Tom and Brandy here, they play old music. They play old time music. They've heard these songs and they know kind of what's supposed to happen, even though, you know, my vision of the song is oftentimes a little bit different because it's influenced pretty heavily by some of the old guys like Blind Willie Johnson and some of those characters. But it's easier to present a traditional songs for me in a group setting, I think.
Well, how fun. And not that you're no stranger to traditionals. So, well, let's hear another tune. And have Brandy switched to the fiddle?
Well, we're going to do an a cappella tune.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. What's it called?
It's called God Moves on the Water. And it's not, I guess, that old. It's from about 1912 after the Titanic sank. There was a whole flurry of songs that came out about how the Titanic had sank and how it was all our fault. You know, it's related to an even older hymn called God Moves in a Windstorm, which is all about, you know, it's not a good idea, but it's all about how God teaches us lessons through natural catastrophes.
Charlie Parr and Company on KUMD.
Thanks. God moves on the water. God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray.
God moves on the water.
God moves on the water. God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. It was the year 1912, April the 14th day. Titanic hit an iceberg and the people got to run and pray. God moves on the water. God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. God moves on the water, God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. Well, stepping up on a boat there, put the lifeboats all around. Let them women and the children go first and let the poor man drown. God moves on the water. God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. God moves on the water, God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. You know that lifeboat hit the land and them women all look around. Sipping over the ocean, mommy, you can't see your husband drown. God moves on the water. God moves on the water, God moves on the water. People got to run and pray. God moves on the water, God moves on the water, God moves on the water.
water.
People got to run and pray. Now, Jacob Bast was a millionaire. He had plenty of money to spare when the Titanic hit an iceberg. He could not afford the fare.
God moves on the water. God moves on the water. God moves on the water. People got to run and pray.
God moves on the water.
God moves on the water.
God moves on the water.
Hey, people got to run and pray.
We've all heard Charlie Parr sing that in with the rocking guitar at the end of the night. But what a beautiful song a cappella.
Yeah, we were going to try to record it with the instruments, but it kept coming out the way it always comes out. And I wanted to make something different about it, so it was a kind of spontaneous decision to do it that way, but I think it turned out okay.
Well, exciting. You know, I just want to talk about, you've had a massive year this year, Charlie. You've changed your appearance. You look very different. Last time I had you in, you were out jogging in your turquoise jogging suit.
I can't jog. I lost a little weight, yeah.
You also put out two albums in 1 year. The Devil...
When the Devil Goes
when
Blind.
When the Devil Goes Blind came out early in the year, yeah. And then this Keep Your Hands on the Plow came out right at the end of the year, December.
Right. And When the Devil Goes Blind was a real studio thing. It was completely solo. I did it all alone, which was really, really a good decision, I think, at the time. And Bo Ramsey came up from Iowa City to sit in on that one and as producer, you know, he didn't play guitar. And that was a pretty amazing experience for me. So I really enjoyed that.
And you really traveled with that album, didn't you?
I did.
To the ends of the earth.
The beginning of last year, we were in Australia. Then a little bit of Europe, Ireland, England. I was on both coasts in the States, plus through the South all the way down to the Gulf Coast. I've been pretty much steady on the road. I just ended the year now. In November, I was in Ireland, England, and Europe, and got up into the Netherlands, and then played a few shows around Wisconsin, and took a break. And now I've been kind of taking it easy for the last few weeks. And this show will be my first show, kind of back to business, I guess.
Yeah, we've really missed you here in town. I know you've been a fixture on Wednesday nights, and there's been a parade of not quite Charlie Parr's playing, but some really amazing musicians, variety of music on Wednesdays. So exciting to have you back in Duluth for this show.
I'm looking forward to getting back to, you know, playing Wednesdays again, and hopefully that'll get going here in February and March. I can get settled back in. And
one more song.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add about this album? This is exciting, having a band, having so much backup, and
yeah,
kind of changing your tune.
Well, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. I mean, it depends on, you know, all the there's a lot of variables, but and I do play a song by myself on this record. It would, you know, I don't know how much we're going to be able to play shows together. These folks have jobs, you know, and I don't have one of those. So for a lot of the touring that's coming up, I'll be on my own again. But you know, I'm even harder to deal with in a vehicle than I am in normal life. So you know, we might have to carpool, caravan.
You know, just one more thing before you play another tune, and that is, it's really remarkable when you record a new effort, new project. You put it out on CD, but you also put it out on vinyl. What's behind that? And
I'm really excited about the fact that we're able to do that now, because for a long time, you know, when vinyl went out, you know, those pressing plants went away too. And now that they're coming, they never really went away, I guess. But now that they're kind of back, it's you know, financially, you know, I'm able to do it. And listening to records is the for me my favorite way to listen to music, you know, and so I'm really excited to be able to do it. And it, you know, the pressing on vinyl it has to be limited to a certain number of copies, because that's what we can afford, you know. And I don't want to have to sell them for $100 a piece, you know.
Right.
But it the sound quality is so much better. And having recorded it in the church, you know, when you sit down and listen to that record, you know, that you can hear the church on the record. You can hear it on the CD, but not as well, you know.
Right.
But having a record, that's an event for me. It makes me really happy to be able to have it on a record.
Well, it's nice to see it come back round where you'll be having your CD release concert at the church where it was recorded, Sacred Heart Music Center.
Yeah, I'm excited to be in, and it's an amazing, amazing place, and I'm happy to be there. We're gonna
do one that's not on the record.
Oh my God. All right.
This is a traditional tune too, I love it. It's old. I got it off of Blind Willie Johnson, but we should have recorded it now that we practiced it in a nice way that Brandy worked out some vocal parts for it. So we'll try that. It's called it's among other things. It's called Light from the Lighthouse Shine on Me.
It's fun hearing these old tunes.
Oh, it's fun to play them. It's going to get us into heaven faster, too.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, all of you, for coming down to join us today in the studio. We have Charlie Parr on guitar and vocals, Emily Parr on vocals, Tom Maloney on guitar and bass, and Brandy on bass and fiddle, and everybody singing as well. Really neat. I thought we would do just a couple more questions here at the end, Charlie.
Okay.
Because I've been here 3 years, and we've had you in the studio every year. You're kicking out another album. We have to invite you down because you're a city favorite, and it's so nice to always have you. It's always different. But I bet there's people, there's things about you personally, because you're kind of shy, that people
just
don't know.
I'm not shy at all.
Everybody laughed at that one. I thought maybe we would steal the questions from Master Interview James Lipton and answer these very personal questions.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
It's a quick fire.
All right.
What's your favorite word?
Frog.
What's your least favorite word?
Frog.
What turns you on?
Long walks on the beach.
What turns you off?
Well, the beach.
What sound or noise do you love?
That's a hard one, because I love a lot of noises, but that little sound that the needle makes when you first put it on the record before the music starts, I love that sound.
Oh, what noise or sound do you hate?
Well,
that noise that
the noise that makes when Emily goes stomping across the floor and the record skips.
What's your favorite curse word?
It's cuss.
Is that a curse word?
Who is that? Fantastic Mr. Fox? That movie, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, where he runs around going, "What the cuss?" Now we say it in our house all the time. It's great.
And what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ice road trucker.
And what profession would you not like to do?
Any other.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Charlie, I really liked that last record.
Thank you so much, Charlie Parr.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Today's Live from Studio A is produced by Christine Dean, Maya Jensen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist. Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WD.